I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. In this series, we're continuing to look at the teaching of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 10, we connect with the fact that Jesus sends us on mission. We, the church, continue his work. We're commissioned to do mission with, like, and for Jesus. Our task and our message is that of Jesus. We'll be treated as Jesus was treated. Some will welcome us while others will persecute us as we faithfully bring God's influence into our world. Get ready to open your mind and your heart to the sending and mission of Jesus. We've been looking at Jesus' teaching from Matthew chapter 10, and this whole chapter is about Jesus sending us out on mission, sending us out to do his work in this world, to represent him. And last week, one of our elders, Chris Andriacola, talked about how when we do that, when we go in the name of Jesus, speaking for Jesus, we're going to experience opposition called persecution. That's just normal. It's a normal experience when we truly are living out what it means to be Jesus in our world, that others would treat us just like they treated Jesus, whether it's at school. School started for many of us already, or will start this week, whether at work, in our neighborhood, sometimes even with our families, we experience that kind of opposition. And all of us, to some extent, fear that feeling of rejection, when others would respond to us in a negative way, especially when that rejection or even judgment comes from people that are important to us or people that have some kind of influence in our lives. That makes it especially difficult. Now, there's a series, and I think they're doing some fresh shows right now, called Fear Factor. And some of you may have seen that. And the whole deal is that there's these teams and they have to face their fears. Like spiders crawling all over them or jumping from high places. And I don't know how they actually do it, but I figure they must interview the people that are a part of that and figure out what they're afraid of and then make them face that, you know. And I thought about that. If I were ever to apply for Fear Factor, I would want to hide two of my fears because I wouldn't want to have to deal with them. And one of them is, I hate being in tight places where I can't move my hands and feet. So spelunking is not one of my things I'm into doing. That's caving. Now, I don't mind being in a big cave in a big room, but those guys who crawl through these really tight spaces and have to wiggle through, and who knows how long that tube is, that would just drive me crazy. That's a phobia of mine. Oh, another of my phobias is snakes. I mean, that's a legitimate phobia. A snake brought down the fall of all mankind. They are evil creatures. And when I read the Bible, one thing I know for sure is if a snake ever talks to you, run. Just run, okay? It was after my freshman year in college, two of my friends and I, we went backpacking in northern Arizona. Found this really great place. We had to climb up a cliff and then go across the top of it, then come down the cliff again. And there was a lake there, and there was just this really small patch of flat ground where we could camp. It was just spectacular. The lake, the cliff, I mean, it was amazing. By the time we got there, evening was setting, light rain, you know, summer monsoon stuff. And set up our tent. Now, I'm a poor college student. Some of you don't even know what this is. My tent was called a tube tent, which just means it's a round piece of plastic and doesn't have ends that you can close up, so you have to have the ends open so that they breathe. But it was a cheap college person's backpack tent. So we set up tent, fixed our dinner. We were tired, retired to go to sleep. And so I'm laying in my tent, and something's moving under the tent. My first thought is it's a rat or some rodent, you know. And then I realize, no. You know, you have those moments where I just want this experience to go away. And it's not going away. And so I get out of the tent. I yell at my friends. I say, we got to pull up my tent. There's something under it. We pull up the tent. And sure enough, I'd put my tent over a rattlesnake den. And so one of my friends had brought a pistol, and so he starts shooting at Mama and her babies. Understand, it is dark. It is rainy. And frankly, he's a lousy shot, you know. And so, yeah, he did kill a few of them, but I don't know how many went back down the hole. And I did not sleep that night. There's no way I'm climbing out the cliff. I don't have a boat. There's the lake. I'm stuck on this little piece of land that night. And so it was not one of my favorite experiences. Jesus talks about our fears. As he sends us on mission, we're going to face fears. Maybe not tight spaces, maybe not fear of snakes, but we have to all deal with how people are going to respond to us as people of faith. And so he knows we're going to face opposition, and we've got to deal with our fear as we face this opposition. And so that's the teaching that he gives us today. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 10, or turn on your device, turn to Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 26. Matthew 10, 26. Here's what Jesus says. So, do not be afraid of them. I want to stop right there. Do not be afraid of them. Who's them? The context is those who are opposing us, those who have excluded us, those who have judged us, those who have spoken against us, those who have hurt us. And in the context of this, even those who have put us in jail. I mean, that happens all around the world today. Hundreds of thousands of people face this kind of challenge and opposition and persecution. He says, don't be afraid of those. Expect persecution. It's going to come. And here's why it's going to come. This is what he said in the previous section. If you are truly like Jesus, if you are truly standing for Jesus, if you're truly speaking for Jesus, then you can expect to be treated like Jesus. And Jesus was excluded. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was spoken badly about. Jesus was ultimately killed. And so he says, expect that. But don't be afraid of those who oppose you. Now, it's a command. Don't be afraid. Now, those of you who are parents, you know there have been times when your kids, especially when they're little, were afraid, and you commanded them, don't be afraid. How well did that work? Now, and I'm being serious. Jesus commands us, do not be afraid, but how do we do that? For most of us, fear is this very powerful emotion. In fact, most of us believe we really don't have much control over our fear. And yet Jesus says, do not be afraid. And so what Jesus is going to do is actually give us some really clear instruction of how we can live in a way that we're not captive to fear, especially the fear in the sense of the opposition. But before we do that, I want us to explore a little bit about how this whole emotional thing works, and particularly how this thing of fear works. First of all, God created us to have fear. That God created that. Because there are times in our lives that we need to be afraid of real danger. And God put fear in us to alert us to danger so that we don't put ourselves in unnecessary harm. The challenge is this, though. There are appropriate things to be afraid of, and then there are things that are not really things we should be afraid of. And that's what Jesus is going to instruct us on. Second of all, we're never to live in fear. We want to be able to overcome it and move through it, push through it. And again, that's what we're going to see in Jesus. So here's how fear works. Our fear is based on what we believe. Okay, let me do the snake thing. I happen to believe that snakes are dangerous and evil. I believe all snakes are dangerous and evil, okay? And so that's my belief. And so let me just use this little chart here to kind of explain this. So here's my belief, okay? All snakes are dangerous and evil. And here's a snake that's kind of curled up here, you know, and there's his tail. And I see the snake, okay? And what do I feel? I feel afraid. And what do? I'm going to act on that. What am I going to do? I'm going to get out of there as quick as I can. Okay? So my belief All snakes are dangerous and evil. Causes me to be afraid, and I run as fast as I can. Okay? Now, that's just the way it works. I see the snake. Now, here, notice this is at the bottom. Most of the time, we don't think about what we believe. We only focus on what we feel and do, not realizing what really directs our feeling and action is what we believe. So if I want to change the way I feel, I have to change what I believe. If I want to change the way I feel, I have to change the way I believe. This is Ashley. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Glenn.
I think Ashley's going to put this to the test. So, what is this you're holding?
I'm holding a ball python.
A ball python. Mm-hmm. Okay, I hear the word python. How big will this ball python get someday?
The largest he can get is 6'6".
The largest he can get is 6'6". Have you fed him today?
No.
No. What is the snake's name?
His name is Adam.
Oh, good. Adam. Yeah. It would have been perfect if your name would have been Eve. You know, we could have made this. All right. Ashley, let me ask you a question. Will this snake hurt me?
No, he will not.
The snake will not hurt me. So now I have to believe and trust Ashley. And so I'm going to... Don't do it. All right. So this unfed snake whose steely eyes are looking at me and his tongue is really flailing there is actually safe. My belief was wrong. Not all snakes are dangerous and evil. And Adam's a pretty cool snake. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
You can have him back. Thank you, Ashley.
You're welcome.
Our belief shapes what we feel and how we act. And that's exactly what Jesus is going to be showing us. And so what we have to do is we have to look at our beliefs if we truly want to be able to do what Jesus challenges us to do, and that is to not be afraid, but to truly speak clearly and boldly for him. So in this passage, three times, Jesus says, do not be afraid. And he's going to instruct us that way. But understand this. This do not be afraid is ultimately a choice. What we believe is a choice, what we feel is a choice, and being bold is a choice. We can decide what we're going to do with that. Almost all of us have this fear of rejection. Almost all of us to some level have a fear of the negative responses, of being judged by those who don't share our belief. That's just a normal experience. And you know, with school starting, our students are going back to school. Our students who trust Jesus and who believe in him and have experienced his power in their lives, they have an opportunity to go back into their schools and truly stand for Jesus. But they also know that what they're facing. By the way, our middle school students are here with us today. Glad you're here. The first of each month, they're joining us. That's why you see so many new faces here. Thanks for being here. And I want us to hear about how some of our students are dealing with this experience of fear as they get ready to go back to school. Take a look at what some of our students are saying.
Two really big things that freak me out when it comes to sharing Christ. I think one of the really big things about sharing Christ is the fact that Christianity has become skewed. They think that we're hateful people, and I fear that these people will start to hate me and make me seem like a bad guy because I'm a Christian. And it's the complete opposite. You're supposed to love people where they're at. And that's what I want people to understand at the end of the day.
I think the first thing that runs through my mind is how are they going to respond to what I'm about to say, and the opportunity of how they're going to respond also, but then again, how are they going to think of me? because maybe they know I'm a Christian, but they don't know I'm like quote unquote super Christian. And also the fear of not knowing what to say or not being able to answer their questions as fully as they want them to.
It's very much a butterfly feeling, you know. You don't know how they're gonna take it. Really, you're just kind of skittish at first.
What makes me afraid usually is that I'm the kind of person that likes to be accepted and that likes to have people accept me. And I feel like that is something that would change the way people see me and change the way that people view me and make them see me as someone who's judging them, when that's not at all what my intention is to do. My intention is to like reach out and show them that there is a way, that there is a good part of life besides just the bad that they're feeling.
We can all relate to that, of how concerned about how others will respond to us. And so Jesus, three times in the teaching today, will say, do not be afraid. And each one of those for us is a clue. It's a hint that there's a belief that he's going to share with us that we can adopt and live by and truly trust, which will help us to not be afraid as we have opportunities to speak for Jesus and stand for Jesus. So go back to Matthew chapter 10, and let's again look at verse 26 and see what he says. He says, Matthew 10, 26, do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. What Jesus is saying is boldly share what you know. Don't, you know, that's why the idea, you know, from the rooftop, let the whole neighborhood know what you believe and what you stand for. Don't be afraid of them, but rather share what you know and experience. You see, it's not about having all the answers. I don't have all the answers to every spiritual question there is, but this I know. I know that Jesus is alive, he's real, he's powerful, he's the one I trust, he's the one I want to follow, and I want others to experience him and know, because I know that Jesus will actually lead people to the very heart of God. And all we simply have to do is share what we know, share what we've experienced, because it's real to us. And just be bold in declaring that. Don't hold back. Just speak it. Trust it. Speak it. Think about that. Trust it and speak it. And then he continues in the next verse. He says, verse 28. Do not be afraid. There it is again, the second time. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the worst that people can do to us? They can kill us. Not a minor issue, but that's all they can do. And just don't be afraid of those that the only power they have is to kill your body, when in fact there is one who is far more important, far more significant, who has the destiny of your soul for eternity. That's the one you need to be concerned about, God himself. Don't be afraid of people. They have limited power. Be afraid in the sense of the fear of God, in the good sense of awe. Be afraid of the one who has the ultimate control of your destiny, the one who really matters. And so the belief that we take on is that people's opinion, even their power, is insignificant compared to God our Father. And because of that, we don't have to be afraid. And even if they kill the body, there is one who's promised life that will never end. And then Jesus continues in verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Some of you, that's not too much of a problem. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. We don't have to fear opposition because even in the midst of opposition, God will not abandon us. He knows deeply about what we're going through. In fact, God's care and concern even increases as we are suffering, as we are standing with Jesus. He is with us. He is present. He will never depart from us. And though at those times we may feel very alone as we face opposition, God's love and care and concern is powerful and present, and that can help move us through those difficult times. We don't have to be afraid because God is truly with us in every situation. So Jesus is sending us into our world, school, work, neighborhood, whatever activity or context that we have, He's sending us there. And we can't let fear stop us from speaking clearly and boldly about Jesus, because if we let fear stop us, that actually puts people's lives in jeopardy, because life is never going to be what God intended it without Jesus. We want people to know and experience that. The Apostle Paul says this in a really amazing way in Romans, the 10th chapter. I want you to turn there. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. The verse 13 is just kind of a classic verse in the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from the power of our sin. Saved from the messes that we make in our life. Saved from the consequences of our sin, so that we can have eternal life, never ending with God. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How can they call on Jesus if they don't believe? And how are they going to believe if they don't know who Jesus is? And how are they going to know who Jesus is if somebody doesn't go and tell them? And how are they going to hear that if somebody isn't sent? And it goes right back to what Jesus has been teaching. He is sending us to be bold, to push through our fear, to speak of Jesus, that others might have the opportunity to know about how much God loves us in Jesus, and to have incredible guidance and direction for this life and life that will never end. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 10 and see how Jesus wraps this part up. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Jesus lays it out straight. These are hard words. Acknowledge me before others, and I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Disown me, and I'll disown you. Why those hard words? Because there is no middle ground. Jesus being absolutely straight with us. We acknowledge Jesus by our words. We also acknowledge Him by our actions. We acknowledge Him by our decisions. We acknowledge Him by our lifestyle. Is Jesus truly the Lord of our life? Are we truly following Him? Are we allowing Him to lead us? And if we're not, then we've disowned Him. We've said, you're not important in my life. We can't let fear take us to that place where we disown Jesus by how we live and what we say. It's exactly what happened to the Apostle Peter. On the night that Jesus was arrested and people began to question him,
Peter had every reason to be afraid. Jesus was arrested, and if Jesus was arrested, he's likely to be arrested, and what's going to happen to Jesus is likely going to happen to him. And so Peter's afraid, and so three times he denies Jesus. Now he later regrets that, and God in his grace comes back ultimately and restores Peter. But we can't let fear take us to that place where we're not willing to stand for Jesus. I want you to hear our students as they reflect upon their opportunity to acknowledge Jesus before their friends, before those that they go to school. Take a listen to our students again.
The reason that I share my faith is because I was going on the fast track to nowhere good, and there were so many people that interjected in my life, and I want to be the person that interjects in somebody else's life. I want to be the kind of person that can help somebody else that's in a state where they feel like they can't get out or they can't be loved.
For the longest time, I always had the thought that these are my friends. I love these people. Of course, I want them in heaven with me. I don't want to see them like, I know where they could end up. I don't want to see them that way. And if I have the power to at least say something to affect them in the slightest way, like, why am I not taking this chance? But then after talking to people on and off, I realized that some of the struggles I've had in the past, they share, and where they don't have the solution that I have for them in Jesus, I found that it was very easy to sort of relate to people in that way and show them through personal experiences what has helped me and what has gotten me to where the point I am in my life.
I guess the reason why I take the risk is because I look at these people, I see them almost every day, maybe 5 days a week, and I look at them and it's just the feeling you want to help them. You want to reach out to them. You want to, if they're going through a hard time, you want to let them know that there is hope for tomorrow.
Why I share my faith is because God has a love that's way too extreme to not share. His love is so big that I can't keep it inside me. I have to share it. I have to spread it. I have to let other people feel that love because it's so amazing and it's so great that I don't want it all for myself. I want to share it and I want to spread it to my friends and the people that I love.
Yeah. We've got some incredible students and who actually model for us the very thing that Jesus is saying. Jesus doesn't call us to be articulate. He doesn't call us to be powerful. He doesn't call us to be persuasive. And he doesn't call us to be perfect. He calls us to be faithful. To be faithful to him, no matter what the situation, no matter what the opportunity, no matter how strong the opposition, he calls us to be faithful. That when we have the opportunity, when he provides the opportunity, we're willing to stand for and with Jesus. We're willing to speak for Jesus. And Jesus is so worth it. He is so worth it. He is the only one who can truly lead us to the heart of God, who can help us connect with God. And when we truly connect with God, that is life-changing. And many of us here have experienced that. We know that Jesus has provided us with the very best hope of living life well now as well as forever. He is so worth it that we have to acknowledge him before others. And that requires of us the very thing that Jesus said. We can't live our lives in fear. We can't be afraid of what others think and how they'll respond. But rather we commit to the one who matters the most in this world. And we stand up and we speak for him without fear. And that is so freeing. It is so freeing to live that kind of way. There may be some here today that have never really acknowledged Jesus, period. Who've never come to that place where it said, I'm ready to follow Jesus with all of my heart, with all of my life, to the best of my ability. And the way that the Bible describes that we acknowledge Jesus is in baptism. It's in baptism that we declare, I want to follow Jesus, that I am giving my life to Him. I'm turning over all that I am, all of my dreams, all of my passions, all that I have. I'm turning it over to Jesus, and I'm going to let Him now lead and guide me. I acknowledge that He is the Lord of my life, that He has control in my life now. I'm relinquishing that control. And if you're at the place where you're ready to acknowledge Jesus before God and before others, I want to invite you to be baptized. The Wesleys will be over here at the Connection Cafe. We have everything that you need. We've got towels and change of clothes. Everything you need is there. And I want to encourage you just right now to go over there and make the decision to acknowledge Jesus before others. Do it now. Don't miss this opportunity. If you're ready, don't miss the opportunity today. And for all of us, I want to go back to the question that's really being asked in the 10th chapter of Matthew by Jesus. He's asking it to each and every one of us. To whom is God sending you? Who in your family? Who at your school? Who at work? Who in your neighborhood? Who at the sports field or the gym? Who is God sending you to? And then the challenge is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to stand with and for Jesus. And when that fear begins to sneak in, go back to those basic beliefs that Jesus reminded us about. We don't have to know all the answers. We just have to speak to what we know and have experienced and boldly share about our experience with Jesus. We don't have to be afraid because of the second thing that Jesus said in a very powerful way is, don't be afraid of those who at the most, all they can do is kill you. Really reflect on the one who really matters in this world. Who we really are responsible to and accountable to aren't what people think. It's what God thinks. And we don't have to be afraid. Because we know that even in the midst of opposition, He will never abandon us. He was there with us and for us, no matter how difficult it gets. To whom is God sending you? Go. Speak of Jesus. Be Jesus. And don't be afraid of the reaction. God has called us to be faithful and acknowledge Him in all circumstances.
Well, why don't we stand up? We're going to sing a song together.
Against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way.
Sing it out.
I will not fear the war. I will not not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. To the Lord this morning, I lift my eyes up. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord.
Let's make it our proclamation here this morning.
I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord.
All right, I'm just going to let you guys sing it out. Time, sing it out, come on. Into a time of communion and offering. You may be seated. As we do so, we just want to remember that we are being called to act. We cannot just sit in the place where we just believe, because in James it tells us that faith without works, faith without deeds, faith without action is dead. And so in order for our faith to be alive, we must act upon it. We must not just live in the place of belief and feelings, but we must act. And these two things that we're about to go into are perfect ways that we can do that, to remember what Jesus has done for us. And so the plate's going to pass. You can take the juice and take the bread, but let's remember what Jesus did for us and be able to spend communion with him. And then after that, we're going to go into a time of offering. And what a better way that we can act than to put our faith into action by saying, you know what, God, I trust that you, your promise is true and that you will bless me if I'm faithful to give to you. If you're a visitor here with us today, don't feel obligated to give. But the rest of us, we need to put our faith into action to be able to give to the Lord everything that we have, not just in our offerings, but all of the things that we have. So let's pray and then we'll do these things. God, we just come before you and just say, God, we're just honored that you make us a part of the things that you want to do in this world. God, that you have called us to act and not just be stuck in simply just believing. God, we pray that you would give us courage, that you would give us strength, God, to be able to act upon these things, these beliefs, God, that we have in you. So we say that we love you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name.